paper on extractive industry.
Extractive activities, so paper 24D. And the extractive activities project is one that is an inactive project on the board's agenda. It's a combination of extractive activities and intangible assets, including research and development. It started off life originally as just extractive activities, and there's a discussion paper that was published some years ago. But following the last general consultation, the board decided to combine it with a possible project on intangible assets, including R&D. And part of the sort of thinking behind that was that there are some similarities in sort of risks associated with, say, exploring for oil and gas or minerals, with exploring or researching for pharmaceuticals, for example, and so it might make sense to look at those two together. In terms of, obviously, the existing standards that we've already got, we've got IAS 38 and IFRS 6. IFRS 6, though, is described as a temporary standard and grants an exception from the IS 8 hierarchy. In terms of sort of the overview, it was only about half of the response to the agenda consultation specifically commented on this particular inactive project. Many of those assessed the priority as low. There's only a small number that assessed it as high. When it came to comments that people made, people often distinguished or made comments specifically about the extractives part or about the intangible assets R&D part, rather than necessarily the both. Overall, the comments on the R&D part looked at, I mean, the views that we got were quite split, so split between users, split between preparers, and so on. They identified things like the so-called missing intangibles. So the fact that if you look at the recognized net assets in a company compared with its market capitalization, in a lot of jurisdictions, there is a big difference there. A number of people would attribute that to, or at least a chunk of that, to being the internally generated intangible assets which are not recognized on the balance sheet. People also identified the inconsistency between the accounting for internally generated and purchased intangibles. And there were some views that we heard where people were disagreeing with the current requirements under IAS 38 for capitalizing development costs, and suggesting that we should be writing off development expenditure consistent with US GAAP and Japanese GAAP on that. On the extractive side, there were those who were supporting the project identified the importance of that industry to certain jurisdictions, and also the limited scope or the temporary standard that IFRS 6 is, and concerns about us continuing to have that, which permitted a degree of diversity in practice. However, on the question of diversity in practice, certainly some of the auditors who commented on this project did note that whilst there is diversity, they felt that diversity is well understood by investors in these industries. And so they didn't necessarily see this as a high priority. And indeed, ESMA, for example, identified this as, yes, there is a need, but it's more of a sort of a medium to long-term need that should be looked at beyond the time horizon of the next sort of 5 years, so beyond the next agenda consultation. Those were really the points I wanted to highlight from the paper, and just to say that I suppose in summary that we identify that yes, that there are needs here, there are issues that ought to be addressed at some stage, but there doesn't seem to be an urgency to address those in the short to medium term, and so consequently the R&D intangibles part doesn't feature in a recommendation for the board's agenda, but we do identify IFRS 6 or some sort of work on that as being something to do perhaps after the next agenda consultation.
Yes.
Ian? A few comments. One, I think it's a shame to consider these together.
Yeah.
I think they're quite separate. I don't know why we made the decision that we did. You said we made it. But
they're the Australian status that you said.
They're quite separate considerations, I think. And I'd really mostly like to talk about extractive activities, because there's a few comments made there. It's in certain jurisdictions, sure, but there are large extractive activities companies on almost all stock exchanges, and they make up quite a large proportion of the capitalisation of those markets. So it's not limited to the jurisdictions where you do the digging or the exploring or whatever else. It's a very global business, invested in globally and on most markets. It's a huge gap in our literature. And we've got a research paper done, it's obviously out of date now because, 10 years ago?
2010 is when...
10, okay, it's only 6 years ago. So there's some basic work done. I can't buy, you said auditors said it, I can't buy the arguments that investors have learned to deal with the diversity in practice. I mean, we could have said the same in the insurance industry. You know, investors have to work with what they've got, and that's what they do, but that doesn't mean that what they've got is what they should have. And so I think that comment is a bit spurious to me. And you know, we've got a temporary standard there, exactly the same as IFRS 4. We've got 6, and we're letting it sit, and that is more than 10 years, 12 years or something like that. So I think, I hate to compare it with insurance because I don't want another 20-year project of 80, but I think it's just as important, and there's just as much diversity, and there's just as much global need for that as there ever was for insurance. And I don't think we should sidestep it.
And it is kind of strange that we are breaking our heads over rate regulation.
Sure.
Which is much smaller than this and much less important.
And it could be an industry on the cusp of a major, major paradigm change, depending on what happens with oil and energy.
But I agree with everything you said, Ian. And on intangibles, I would like to. I think they need to be considered separately. I think what we have for intangibles is a broken standard. That's what the person who wrote the standard, Wayne Upton, said himself. So we have a big problem there too. And I think before everybody's talking about integrated reporting. Well, I think, if we have to do something to that extent, that intangibles are where we should do some work before we start thinking about anything else, and before that probably affected industries. But on the other hand, it is also clear that we have very limited means.
Not very limited.
No. But would you advocate pushing it on the agenda now? I'm just talking about extractive.
Yes, I would.
But you also pushed for rate regulation.
Sure.
Just was stuffing my hand too long.
Just a question about the assertion about diversity in practice. I've not looked myself, but it seems to me that in certain industries like oil and gas, practice has pretty much aligned to using a form of US GAAP within IFRS. It might be more diverse in mining, maybe, but I think oil and gas, which is probably one of the biggest among the extractive industries, there is comparability in effect.
On the basis of a deficient standard.
Possibly, but I mean, practice using US GAAP has developed on top of IFRS 6, and investors, in my opinion, seem to be comfortable more or less with that.
Okay, so you might have a comparability point, but not a quality point.
Well, US GAAP is what, two alternatives, full cost and successful efforts.
Exactly.
And it really deals with the size of the pool, you know, for the capitalizable cost, but the majors are under successful efforts and everybody else under full cost. At least that's what it used to be.
Yeah. But what is it today? Do we know today what is a prevailing practice within
it's easy to research. We can, maybe, but they guarantee the majors are all successful efforts, at least the Western ones. So.
Yeah.
And that's certainly consistent with my experience when I used to work in that area.
Daryl?
So I agree with everything Ian said, and I in fact put up my name card to say specifically the same thing. I'd go a little bit further and say I think we should consciously separate this out from the other two components. So make it clear that we're thinking of extractive separately. I think we can also, to the extent that we think that there is a resource limitation issue that we need to consider, think about whether at this stage we should focus just on trying to bring disclosures up to a consistent framework, so we at least know you're getting the same level of information. And then I think the input that we received at the previous instant from the three or four standard setters that grouped was very useful input at that stage. And we may well want to talk to the same standard setters to ask whether they could roll forward what they did into a common disclosure framework that we could consider adopting. That may be a way to do it at a relatively low level of resource usage from our perspective. It also might be a quicker way to Ian's point about insurance and having a very long project. It's possible that going a disclosure first route might help us understand better or get people used to what that common framework actually tells them before you start looking at recognition and measurement. And recognition and measurement are likely to be the two issues where we would see closer alignment to things like intangibles and research and development. So it might give us a little bit of time in the background to think about those sides. So I would think about breaking it up into each of those slugs, and then, as I say, this might offer an opportunity to work with some of the standard setters to do something more focused from our perspective.
Thank you.
Ian, I agree with you on to describe it how important, important diversity and global. But on the other hand, it's hard to compare with insurance. Insurance, we account for contract, and we come out to a general measurement principles people generally accepted. Of course, there are details, but on the abstract industries, and I don't think we come out such a stage, even in the disclosure aspects, as Daryl said, this is one of the difficulties.
And that's because we've provided no leadership.
Pardon?
That's because we've provided no leadership. That's why we've got such problems.
Amaro?
Thanks. Well, at this stage, I'll just confirm that I share Ian's view on this. It's expected because I come from a region where most economies are significantly commodity driven, and those companies are huge companies, and in some countries like Chile, for instance, mostly one commodity, copper, and the stress under those companies in terms of information to be provided with investors, not only limited to that country, that is the important thing. Investors in companies that explore commodities, any type of commodity in Latin America, they are spread all over the world. So I think we should of course split the three issues and we should think serious about continue with the project that we have already issued in the past, the discussion paper, and benefiting of this we have already done before it's completely lost. And this industry is, of course, under huge stress right now. So who knows where they will be in 5 or 10 years. So,
Steve?
I agree with Ian. But, of course, I recognize that we have limited resources. So the thing I wanted to question is when you said it's a medium to long-term need. I don't agree with that. I think it's an immediate need to do something about it because there is a deficiency in the accounting. And if we didn't have any other problems in accounting and we had unlimited resources, I think we should deal with this problem now. But I accept that we have limited resources. This may not be the most important issue to address, and therefore there may be other things that should be prioritized. So when we come to our discussion about how we set the agenda, I wouldn't want us to set the things that aren't going to be started immediately, that we dismiss them as being of no importance, there's no need, there isn't an issue to deal with. I think there are many issues in accounting that we should think about. I mean, I've supported doing something on pensions, for example, but I recognize that maybe resource constraints will mean that can't be done immediately. So I think there's an immediate need, but maybe not an immediate project.
Question of judgment.
Mary?
I'm about to do one of those, I agree, but I agree with what Ian said about splitting the two projects, that these are separate projects. The but is that I wonder whether, if we're being logical, we'd say we should do the intangibles project before we do the extractive, at least for recognition and measurement, because as the paper identifies, one of the big issues is mineral resources and what, if any, value to attach to identified, maybe proven resources that haven't been extracted. And that sounds an awful lot like we want to have figured out how we approach licenses, how we approach knowledge about the feasibility of something. So all I'm saying is that the same way we said we wanted to do conceptual framework as a priority so that we could build consistent standards from using that, I wonder if we should think about sequencing that way. Having said that, what Daryl said about disclosure, I think is not subject to that sequencing point, that if we were to do something that focused on as a first step disclosures, I think we could set that argument aside. My point about the sequencing is one that if we were asking the staff to do any research about extractive, I think I would ask them to think about that sequencing issue as part of the research and why we should or shouldn't, and what are the pros and cons of doing that from a recognition and measurement perspective.
I think there's one thing to bear in mind about extractive activities, which is that there's an explicit scope out from some standards. I mean, IS16, I guess, is the most obvious, IS36. It's not. So I think the pressing problem is the scope out from existing standards. Otherwise, existing standards are in place and can be used. Whether it's the right answer or not is obviously another question, or whether it's the best answer. But it seems to me that's the hole to be filled at some stage. And that's the reason why in 24A we've suggested that, even though we've recommended doing no work over the current planning horizon, we acknowledge that we will need to at some stage to plug that gap. And so it would be, I think, the sort of minimum we need to do when we start off is plugging that gap. It's not necessarily getting into all the other issues might want to do if you wanted to look at comprehensively everything that might be important in the extractive industries.
But let me come back. If we were looking at trying to plug the gap by saying right now IS38 excludes mineral rights from its scope and presumably also excludes some of the equivalent of research and development that relates to getting information about the feasibility and value of a field, my decision about whether to plug the gap by removing the scope exception and putting these things into the intangible standard is going to depend in part on whether I think I have an old standard that I might have some questions about or a new standard. So I don't think it's just a matter of figuring out whether we lift the exceptions or not. I don't have a conclusion on this. I just think it's part of the sequencing.
I mean, I agree with your logic, Mary, but I think the problem is we'll never get to an answer on intangibles in the foreseeable future. So there's a lot of other problems in extractive activities that can be addressed. And I wonder whether, or underground is an intangible or not, which is another question. So if we tried to do it your way, I think we have got a 20-year project.
And I'm not saying we have to. I'm just saying I think I'd want the staff as a first step to look at the impact of not doing intangibles.
Well, I think that'll be covered in the discussion paper that's already there.
I mean, my worry about that, I think, lifting the lid at all on intangibles, I think that's an enormous project, even to figure out what's going on there and what might be needed and what might be old, what might not be old. And I think we'd be talking about a large commitment of resources to do anything to do with intangibles, and with very uncertain prospects of it actually leading anywhere.
Can I ask a question to Daryl? You proposed we start with investigation of a disclosure. Whether it is also have some kind of recognition of measurement aspects, because if you are talking about, you know, disclosure of quantity or limitations, government, you know, the right government give to you, it's easier. But if you want to come out some measure, you know, a mandatory measure, then I would feel there is a recognition and measurement aspect, even though not formally recognized in financial statements.
So I agree, there's certainly an element of measurement that comes in, but it doesn't change the financial statements. I think the one other thing I meant to say is that a lot of the regulatory authorities in the different jurisdictions, particularly on the listed exchanges, have already done quite a lot of work on this. So there is, it's not like we're starting from zero, it's not as we've done. And to Gary's point, in some industries you actually find there's already a worldwide consensus. It's more a matter of trying to capture that.
Okay, any other comments? Michael, anything else you require?
No, nothing. I'll pick up again tomorrow.
Okay, then we can call the meeting closed. Thank you.